So thank you for inviting me to speak at your conference. It's been very nice to be part of it. What I want to tell you today is about some of the work that I've been doing with Steve Ryan that we finished last year. And this is on generalized hyperpolygons, which are defined through a special type of numbers. And we introduced these ones in our last papers that are here, the details, in case you want to see them, in the Quarterly Journal of Mathematics and in the notices of the AMS. The talk will involve Higgs bundles, which I've been working on for the last decade now. And if you'd like to know more about this area, there is also a short article with open questions from last year from the notices that you can take a look that appears in the slides. And that will have a lot of open questions that you can see. So what I want to do today, let me see how, So what I want to do today is the following. First, I'd like to introduce the main objects of the talk, which are generalized hyperpolygons. And for these, we'll see some useful ideas related to quivers. Then I'd like to consider the relationship with Higgs bundles on Hitchin systems, since this is part of what motivated me to study the area. And finally, I'd like to look into the appearance of integrable systems within the spaces of hyperpolygons. I had to make contact with Hitchin integrable systems and a little bit with the physics behind it. And I'll mention some open questions that we've been working on along the way. So let's start with hyperpolygons and entail some quiver varieties to make sure we all have the basic notation set up, since we're from very different areas. So the model space of polygons appears as the Nakajima quiver variety of star-shaped quivers. Since we'll be using a similar construction when considering hyperpolygons, let's do a quick recap of what these varieties are and how they're built. So for these, let's consider a very easy example. First, let's consider the quiver A1 with two vertices, U and V, and the labels RU and RV. And its space of representations is defined as the homomorphisms between C to the RU and C to the RV, like you see here. And that's what I call the vector space V. Now, the corresponding Nakajima quiver variety, to make it, we need to add a reverse arrow going from V to W. And we can now interpret the space of representations as the contingent space to those homomorphisms. This can be viewed as the sum of two spaces of homomorphisms between two copies of C, parametrizing, like here, the two arrows, where we think of the reverse direction Y as being the cotangent direction. And to construct the corresponding moduli space, we will consider a symplectic reduction, which will then be used for generalized setting of hyperpolygons. Let me move the sharing screen so I can see better all of this slide. So what I want to do now I want to understand this symplectic reduction. For the symplectic reduction to each quiver, we are going to associate a real and a complex moment map that I'm going to call mu and nu, and that will take the space of representations of the double quiver to the dual of the Lie algebra and to its complexification. These moment maps are associated with the complex adjoint action of a group G, which is built from the action of groups on each of the nodes as following. One central node, we're going to, one central node B, we're going to have the action of U of RV acting by left or right multiplication. And on the central node, we have the action of SUR. So we have all of the non-central nodes here and the central nodes here. And we're going to have that product quotient by the plan minus one. And that's action on the representation space. And so let's take a look at an example to see how this works. Let's go back to the quiver with two nodes. Because we're defining the moment maps node by node, we can build these maps over a whole quiver in a natural way. To understand these moment maps, on this first example, the two nodes one, in this case, we're going to have the real moment map on X and Y defined by the difference between X star X and Y star, which is the where this asterisk that you see here in the X star and the Y star is the conjugate transpose. And we can pretend it lives in the correct Lie algebra by scaling it appropriately. So things will end up living in the right place. The complex map is now going to be just a product of X and Y here. So how do we make the Nakajima queer variety having the moment maps? What we're going to do is the Nakajima queer variety of a quiver can usually be constructed through these moment maps as an affine hyperkähler variety. In general, given a quiver Q, which is not doubled yet, we first consider the quotient of the space by representations by the group G, which is the product of GL to the of RV, like this here, for each of the nodes of the quiver. But now, if we want to look at the Nakajima quiver variety and the moduli space for that, we add the cotangent. So to obtain a Nakajima quiver variety, we restrict the dual of the representation variety to the intersection of the two level sets obtained via moment maps to take the hyperkähler quotient. Our group is now taken to be the product of the maximal compact for each of the vertices. We take the level set of the real moment map for a central element alpha and the level set of the complex moment map at zero. So like we see here, the alpha and the zero, and the space has very nice geometry from work of Hitchin, Holland, Lindstrom, and Roeck, the space has the hyperkähler structure where the complex structure I comes from mu and J and K come from mu. So what we want to do is we want to generalize this setting to certain type of quivers that are star-shaped quivers, and then to generalize hyperpolygons. Our interest is on generalized type of hyperpolygons. And hyperpolygons themselves are built from A-type quivers. So we're going to take a look at A-type quivers first, to look at hyperpolygons next, and then generalize hyperpolygons. This simplest case of a flat variety that comes from choosing an A-type quiver with M nodes, like you see here, with labels 1 to R, and integers in between in increasing order. Then, for the Nakajima queer variety, we have the dual flat variety associated to this and the inverse arrows that we have here. And we are considering the underlying R, like I wrote here, as the vector of numbers between 1 and R. The groups that we're going to be considering here for this particular quiver, the groups here are the following. We're going to use them for the moment maps. The first one is G, which is the product of U of Ri for each of the vertices quotiented by plus or minus 1. Here we have it there. And second, we are going to have the center of the group, which is the sum of the dual of the Lie algebras for the known central nodes, like we have here. So for our moment map, we're going to consider the level set coming from all of the nodes except for the central node. And so we're going to take all of these elements to zero, and we're going to leave one with to take the moment maps. Moreover, we're going to have a UR action from the central node with complex moment map mu. And this is going to be going by the product of the two arrows to and from the node with a nilpotent image. So we can use this analysis to understand the space of star-shaped quivers, and that will lead us to hyperpolygons because we're going to put all of these A quivers together attaching the central node. So let me show you how you do that. Well, as we mentioned before, hyperpolygon spaces arise as the representation space of star-shaped quivers, and these are built by considering n many different A-type quivers, not necessarily with the same flags, going together at the central node, to which we usually give the label R. To build a space of generalized hyperpolygons now, we need to add G many loops to obtain a comet-shaped quiver. These are blue arrows that you see here, and this is what generalized part of hyperpolygons means. So without the blue arrows, we have hyperpolygons. With the blue arrows, we have generalized hyperpolygons. When we consider its doubled quiver now, with the double arrows, and at the center, we restrict the action to SUR, we can then fix labels just as before and choices of alpha I. So we are going to have for each of the legs of the comment, arms of the comment, we're going to have an alpha I here And we're going to have those as the hyperparameters, and now we have the R's underlined as vectors of numbers for each of the flags. So how do we use these to define a Nakajima queer variety associated to our generalized hyperpolygon? This is what our work was about, trying to extend the usual construction to this generalized setting, and then understand in terms of integrable systems. So in this case, we define the Nakajima queer variety of the above comment as the product of the dual spaces of the flag varieties for each of the arms, together with the cotangent space coming from the center node. And then we question by SUR. So the loops come from SLRC, and there's G of them. So we're going to have G of SLRC here. And we're going to take the cotangent space since we're looking at the double quiver. The question now, yeah, the moment maps is going to be done as before by considering the level set at zero, as well as the parameters alpha i's, which we encoded in this partial flag, just like before. So I want to take a look at this moment map since this is the first contact that we do with symplectic geometry and the physics behind these quotients. For understanding this, for constructing the appropriate moment maps, which need to be generalized because now we have loops, we're going to do the following. We need to remember these moment maps will lead to an appropriate moduli space with good geometric conditions. So that's why we need to make it the appropriate generalizations. It's useful to understand how the loops of the comment contribute to the action since they're the new objects. At the center node, say we call it star, we have n arms indexed by I and g loops indexed by j, and one can express the moment maps in the following way. We're going to suppress the indices for x and y and only leave the I since the center node only directly interacts with the first node of each arm. So let's forget about the rest of the arm, just keep the first one. And the real moment map mu at star is the sum of the real moment maps at each of the arms, sums to the commutators of the loop arrows and its reverse one for all of the loops that we have at the center node. So note that we're taking the traceless part and so we're putting the zeros here. And the complex moment map is the sum of the complex moment maps for that node at each of the arms, sum with the commutators of each loop arrow and its doubled one. So we're going to take for the generalized hyperpolygon space, this then constructed through the level sets at zero of the corresponding complex and real moment maps, modeling out by SUR action. So we're going to equate these two moment maps to zero, and we're going to take level sets at zero, like here, modeled by SUR. It can be shown that this space, and this is what we did, that it's a hyperkähler variety of complex dimensions two times the sum of the dimensions of the flag variety plus g minus one times r squared, so minus one. This is, if all the flags are complete, we have this expected dimension that you see here appearing. We call this generalized hyperpolygon space following the hyperpolygon space idea that you can understand them geometrically. So geometrically, we can think of the space of generalized hyperpolygons as parameterizing pairs of polygons whose sides, so here are the sides of the hyperpolygons, whose sides have the length determined by those values of the moment map. This is this being in close analogy to the polygon space. In particular, we're working on arbitrary genus, and so we have 2n plus 2 g-gon and n plus g-gons, like here. So the space of generalized hyperpolygons or hyperpolygons is going to be denoted with this x. It's going to be x to the g sub r of alpha, and this is going to be the space of generalized hyperpolygons of length alpha. Hyperpolygons themselves, without the generalizations, were first studied by Kono as a natural hyperkähler extension of the usual polygon space. Later on, Harda and Crutford studied them as the Nakajima quiver variety in more detail, and these spaces are closely related to Higgs bundles, as was first seen in genus zero, Dini and Mandini for rank two, and later extended to any rank by Fisher and Ryan, in this case for minimal flags. So what we did with Steve Ryan now was considered the case of Higgs bundles on surfaces of arbitrary genus. And arbitrary arms. So we have hyperpolygons and generalized ones on any with any type of flux. And I want to tell you how they relate to Hitching systems and expandals, since with that we connect to solutions of the Yang-Mill self-duality equations, and through that we connect to the physics, mathematical physics and string theory side of things. So let's take a look. Nagajima queer varieties relate to Higgs bundles from long ago. So Nagajima queer varieties can be thought of as the finite dimensional analog of Hitching systems. And to see this, recall that Hitching's equations express both the flatness of an S and C connection and the harmonicity of a metric in the flat bundle associated. And Hitching equations, for those that haven't seen them before, they are the analog, they come from a reduction from four dimensions to two of Yang-Mill's self-duality equations. In particular, this analogy can be drawn from the two equations obtained via the real and moment map defined just previously for hyperpolygon spaces. So let's take a look at these two moment map equations for which we consider the level set zero. And these equations can be put side to side and reorder to see the Hitching equations appearing. So first we equate them to zero like we've done here, and now we're going to reorder them so that we have the analogy more explicit. We have the failure of a polygon to close to be corrected by the choices we make for the cotangent data. And this is very similar to Hitching's first equation, where the failure of the curvature to vanish for the connection is measured by the choice of the Higgs field phi. And this is what we have here. So now that we have a connection part and a Higgs part in the first hyperpolygon equation, we see in the second equation the connection part acting on the cotangent data and thus making or leading to an analogy with Hitching's second equation that you have here for holomorphic data. So solutions of these two equations will relate us to Higgs bundles, and this is what we do. The way we associate a corresponding Higgs field to a hyperpolygon is by considering a punctured surface like I've written here. So let's take D, a positive divisor in the upper half plane, which is filled with punctured foregons, like the violet ones. And then we're going to use X and Y data to define the residues of the Higgs field, which now is going to be meromorphic at these points. So choosing the G over GZ of ZI that we have here appropriately, as a quasi-periodic function, we can see that the quotient is well-defined on the quotient of the upper half plane by the appropriate Fuchsian group. And these are Higgs fields for the trivial rank R bundle on those surfaces, which we compactify before we take the quotient, so we get a compact Riemann surface at the end. So what Lara, we have here is an, yes?
Sorry, Lara, to interrupt, 2 minutes.
Yeah. So. 2 minutes, okay. Yeah. Thank you. So what we have here is an embedding that respects the structure I, but not the structure J and K. And so I want to take a look at an example. We have the four nodes in the quiver. And in this case, what we have is the following. So we have the affine D4 diagram with a flag 1, 2 with all arms and having a minimal and complete flag. In this case, the moduli space like you read here is the moduli space of hyperpolygons. It's the K3 surface with a complete ALE metric. It embeds into the Hitching system of parabolic Higgs bundles of rank 2 on P1 with 4 punctures. So this is 4 tame singularities of the Higgs field. And the embedding is not hyperkähler varieties, just like before. We mentioned the difference between the two spaces, the codimensional zero subvariety, which is the Hitching section, which puts us in contact with integrable systems. So in the last minute, I want to mention just a couple of words about integrable systems. Given the correspondence between generalized hyperpolygons and Higgs bundles, we look into the appearance of integrable systems, which would make the analogy with the Hitching fibration and mirror symmetry once you get into the fibration. We should keep in mind that back in 1994, Nagajima mentioned in his work that one would expect Nagajima queer varieties to be completely integrable Hamiltonian systems. And Fisher and Ryan showed that this is the case for hyperpolygons of genus zero surfaces and minimal flags for rank R less or equal to 3 and any N. So they did this by embedding the space of hyperpolygons into certain space of tame Higgs bundles on functional spheres. And we can now extend this to the case of generalized hyperpolygons, where we have comets with all of these loops and any flux, with any RG and N. And this is what we do to end the talk. What we do is we take the quotient of the flux coming from each of the arms, and we have a Gelfand-Tilson type integral system appearing and a Lee-Poisson type integrable system appearing. And the fact is that once you take the quotient, you can actually get the integral system that you wanted. So we consider generalized hyperpolygons with C comet arms and N minus C minimal arms. And we look at the number of invariants that we need to take when doing the hypercalor quotient. And this is the number of invariants that appear. I'll just finish off very quickly to the highlights of what happens here. So you take the appropriate quotient and all of the invariants that come from each of the arms. So you have the invariants from the Gelfand-Tilson integrable system, you have invariants coming from the minimal flags, and you have invariants coming from the loops. And once you take the quotient, you actually get a mid-dimensional subspace, which is exactly what you needed for your hypercalor quotient. So the main theorem with Ryan is that the space of generalized hyperpolygons is an integrable system. It's a completely integrable Hamiltonian system of Gelfand-Tilson type. And the importance to finish off, this is the last slide, is that in particular, this shows that there are sub-integrable systems of meromorphic Hitchin systems, so of solutions of the self-duality equations, which do not see the complex geometry of the algebraic curve themselves. And these have hyperkalor structures, so we can ask questions about mirror symmetry, about brains or Lagrangians appearing, and what mirror symmetry does to those Lagrangians. And these are all things that we're currently thinking about. So thanks a lot for listening. Sorry, I rushed at the end. I just want to make sure that I could show you the last bit.
Thank you very much, Lara, for a great talk. So we have about 3 minutes for questions for Lara, but then remember, of course, that we can discuss more with her in the social break time. So are there any questions that people have immediately? Theo?
Thank you. So thank you for the wonderful talk. This sort of Nakajima hypothesis that all quiver varieties are integrable systems, this seems like it seems very hard. You had to work hard to establish it in these examples. But can you say, like, where is there a kind of kernel of hardness? Is there a spot where it kind of could go wrong?
In our case, it was hard to define the appropriate moment maps. So that was the key that took us months to do of that paper, was to try again to define different types of moment maps to see which one would give us the appropriate invariant count. And this was very hands-on, even though we did it in a generic setting for generalized hyperpolygons for each of the different arms, et cetera. That's very generic, but it's just for comet.
Okay.
So I'm not sure, I'm not aware of any generic way of finding moment maps. It could probably be that you just need more general theorems that are not about particular moment maps for the hyperkalor portion. So I think work of Tom Nevins and Kevin McGurdy about Kirwan surjectivity and their hyperkalor construction for generic quivers, that might be the way to go. Yeah, that's a good question.
Thank you. And Libby, do you want to unmute yourself and ask your question?
Sure. Thanks, Laura. I really enjoyed your talk. I remember in the beginning you talked about how you kind of started with the type A quiver and used that to generalize to make the star quiver. I was curious if there's like similar generalization with the other Dinkin types or like how that fits in.
I haven't seen it done. That's a great question. And it would be very interesting. I'm not aware of any, like in this case, you put all of these A-type quivers in this nice natural setting and you have these generalized hyperphonicums, you'd first need to have a natural way of putting these other Dynkin diagrams together. So declaring one as your central node, for instance, and joining them all. For some of the Dynkin diagrams, your arms would be a tree-like arm, right? With extra branches. It would be very interesting to know what happens. I can imagine it could potentially be thought of as a generalization of these generalized hyperpolygons because you're adding extra arms. But it's not been done. Definitely a really good question to think about. Yeah.
Great. Thank you, everyone, for the questions. Let's thank Lara again.